I want to, at this time, share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me, turn to Revelation chapter 7. I want to ask for your prayers. I want to share with you what God gave me today for this service. In Revelation chapter 7, I want to begin reading with verse 9 and read through the end of that chapter, which is verse 17. So Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9, says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And I want you to think with me here for just a moment how this began, this first verse that I read. John said here that he beheld a great multitude which no man could number. I want to use a title for this message today, and that title being, Oh, What a Meeting. Oh, What a Meeting. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They had had great victory in the Lord. And I want us today to reflect upon the great work that God has done throughout the history of the human race, throughout the history of this world, the great work of God that has gone on in every generation. And I believe that God still will do great things today if we will but believe, if we will but place faith in Him like we should, that God will still work mighty things among us today as well. But I want us to just look back at some things and perhaps glean from days gone by, that we might be able to be stirred, that we might be able to realize and remember that we serve the same God today that has done these things before, and He can do them again. And but in the seventh chapter of Matthew, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, I believe that we could perhaps misunderstand what Jesus was saying there, if we were to take that statement that the Lord made, and we were just to look at that and say, well, look, Jesus said that there is just going to be a few saved. Now, I've already shared with you in the seventh chapter of Revelation, in this vision that John was given there of heaven, that he saw those that were gathered around the throne, and he said it was such a great multitude that no man could even number this great multitude of people that were gathered there. Now, this statement here that John made concerning what he saw, and the statement that Jesus made concerning few finding the way of life, they certainly don't contradict one another. The scriptures, if they're properly understood, they never contradict one another. The scriptures always harmonize. And so I believe that it's obvious that what Jesus was saying here was that in comparison to those that take the broad way, there are few that enter in at the straight gate and find eternal life in comparison to those who go the other way, who take that broad way that leads to destruction. And that really is a very sad thought, that there are so many more that do not enter in at the straight gate than what there are that do. It's really sad to think that there will be more people, many more people perhaps pass through the scenes of time that don't get right with God, that don't seek the Lord and get saved, and they end up spending eternity in hell apart forever from the love and mercy of God. That's really sad what Jesus told us here. But among those that do enter in at the straight gate, among those that do seek the Lord, repent of their sins, and trust Him and be saved, that multitude throughout time, and of course we don't know how much longer God is going to allow time to continue. Perhaps His coming will be soon. We really don't know. He didn't tell us when He would come. He just told us that He would come again, and when He comes again, that's going to be it. The opportunity to be saved is going to be forever gone. Nobody will be saved after the Lord returns, because He's going to bring an end to this world, and all things, all the works of this world are going to end. But among those that have been saved throughout the years of time, they make up a great multitude of people. There have been many people, as we have read here in the seventh chapter of the Revelation, God's work has been mighty throughout the years of human history. And there have been many, there have been a great multitude of people that have come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I want to share a few accounts with you today that will substantiate this and that will help us to remember and to see perhaps a little bit about what the Apostle John was talking about here concerning this heavenly vision that I have read to you from this seventh chapter of Revelation. Let's begin with the book of Acts. Let's begin with the early years of the Lord's church, not many years after His church had been organized, had been established here in the world, and not many days past the resurrection of Christ. There was great revival that came upon His church. The Lord had instructed His church to wait in Jerusalem until He fulfilled His promise to them of great power coming upon them. The Lord had promised His church that the Holy Spirit would come up on them and would empower them in a great way. And we find in the first chapter of Acts that they were gathered together and they were waiting for the promise. They were not a large number. The Bible says the names of them together were about 120. And so they were not a great big number, but they were gathered together and they were praying and they were waiting for God to fulfill his promise of this great extraordinary power that he was going to give them. And the Bible tells us how that this power came from heaven. It came upon them as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house. And God fulfilled his promise of sending this great Holy Ghost power upon his church. And I'll tell you what, I believe that the Lord's church still has access to that today, the way that she always has. You know, if we will continue in the things of the Lord, if we will continue to do what he has left us here to do, then we will claim that promise as well, and we will know the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon us. And so that day we read about how that on that great day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us about 3,000 souls being saved and added to the church. And then the Bible also tells us there at the end of that second chapter of Acts that not only were there 3,000 souls saved that day and added to the church, but also the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so it wasn't just those 3,000 saved and then that was over. There were people that continued to be saved. Now, we're not sure how many that was, but we know that the Lord continued to add to the church daily, on a daily basis, those that were saved. If you look at the fourth chapter of Acts, in the fourth verse of Acts chapter 4, you will see a subsequent occurrence there where there were 5,000 men that heard the word of the Lord and they believed. And so we can see that in the early years of the church, at the very onset of the church doing the work after that the Lord had empowered his church and the church preaching the gospel and doing the work that he had left her here to do, that there were many, many people that began to be saved. And you can go on through the book of Acts and you can read about the mission work, the missionary journeys and the mission work of the Apostle Paul and of some of the other apostles as well. And you can read about how that the Apostle Paul went from city to city, from place to place, and preached the gospel to people. And people were saved, and churches were organized, and the work of God was spreading, and there were many people being saved in the fourth chapter. And I encourage you to read that. Read the book of Acts. If you want to be blessed, and if you want to be encouraged, just take that, start with the very first chapter and just go through the book of Acts and study that and read about the times that God's work really took off and there was really great revival and many people were being saved. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we have an account there of Jesus when he came, when he passed through Samaria and he came there to Jacob's well and he sat down there on the well and a Samaritan woman came to the well there to draw water and the Lord Jesus Christ told her that he could give her a drink of living water and she wanted it. She made that request of him, give me this to drink. And I believe that woman got saved. I believe that Samaritan woman got saved. I believe she took a drink of that living water. And the Bible tells us how that after this, that she went into the city there and she began to tell people, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the Bible tells us there that there were many that believed on him for the saying of the woman which gave that testimony. And then the Bible also tells us that there were others that came and they heard the words of Jesus himself. And the Bible says that there were many more that believed after hearing the words of Jesus. And so you can see, and of course, so far, all that I have shared with you doesn't even include things that took place and people that we read about that were saved during Old Testament times. I mean, my goodness, go read the book of Jonah and see what happened there in the city of Nineveh when Jonah went and preached to a city of people that I believe was about 120,000 in population. And we read about how that Jonah went there and he preached to them. And the Bible says that the people believed God. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, but they believed God. And even the king came down from his throne and put on sackcloth and ashes. And God spared that entire Gentile city there in the days of Jonah. Now you talk about a revival. That was quite a revival, wasn't it? In our country, in the early years of our country, and I believe this is one of the things that I enjoy so much about reading Baptist history. In the early years of this nation, there was a man by the name of Schubel Stearns, and he felt a great call from God, and he first went to Virginia, and he didn't believe that that was where God wanted him, and so he went on, and I'm just making this very brief, there's a lot that could be said about him, but not believing that it was really the state of Virginia where God wanted him, he journeyed on into North Carolina. And there, which was at that time Guilford County, North Carolina, I believe perhaps today it's called Randolph County, but at that time it was known as Guilford County, North Carolina, and there was Schubel Stearns, and altogether there were 16 people that organized Sandy Creek Church there on the banks of that creek in Guilford County, North Carolina. 16 charter members. 1755 was when that church was organized. Now, historians, and not just one, but just about all of them that you read about that have written a history of Sandy Creek Church in North Carolina in 1755 will give you the same account that that church that was established with 16 members within 2 years' time had grown to just a little over 600 members. And Robert Semple, who recorded that in the history of the Virginia Baptist, when he gave the account of what was happening there at Sandy Creek Church, he said, "How mightily grew the work of God." And so when we look at some of these things, and there are so many more accounts that could be given. I could take all day long to share with you of times. It's not uncommon at all to pick up your history books and study the history of the Baptists, even here in this nation, and read about days when they had great revivals. And it wasn't uncommon to see people saved in the hundreds and added to the churches. I believe if my memory serves me correct, and I believe it does, the revival that brought about the organization of this church when Fifth Street Church was organized, there was 100 people or more, I believe, that were saved in that revival there in that tobacco barn. I'm telling you, through the years, God has done His work. Done His work. And it brought about from the very time of Adam unto the time that we live in now. The great work of God brought about what John envisioned, what John saw there in that vision when he saw a multitude that no man could number. And they weren't all from America. They were from every nation under earth. You know, in our lifetime, sometimes we may grow discouraged. And perhaps a lot of times that's because we don't look at the big picture. In our lifetime, and no matter what things are like in the period of your lifetime, no matter how things are like among the church, listen, even those that lived in the Great Awakening, even those that have lived in the great heyday of revival in days gone by, have only seen in their lifetime a very small portion of what God has done. I'm looking forward to going to this meeting. I'm looking forward to being with all the people of God throughout all the ages that make up a multitude that cannot be numbered. What a great meeting that's going to be. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was privileged with some of the other members of the church here. I was privileged on a Thursday night to be in a service, a revival service at Woodlawn Missionary Baptist Church that night when there were two precious souls that were saved that night. And I tell you the truth today, when that little girl, when Brother Roger Carter's little granddaughter, after bowing on that mourner's bench for a good while and praying, when that little girl got up and looked at everybody and had that beautiful smile across her face and told about being saved, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God blessed me to no end when she testified of what God had done in her heart. I'm telling you, we don't serve a God that's just a God of the past. We serve a God that's a God of the present. We serve a God that still has the same power today that He had on the day of Pentecost, that still has the same power that He had during the Great Awakening. We serve a God today that can save one person, and He can save 1,000 people if they'll come to Him and trust Him and believe in Him. And folks, we need that. We need revival. We need that growth that can only come from God. Let me tell you something. Those of us that have been saved, Brother Strode this morning, when you led that song about God's gentle people, will I see these same gentle people one day? Listen, the people of God, we're going to gather again one day. I thought about when I read this about what John saw in that great vision. I thought about those in my life that I have known that have already gone on to be in that meeting. And they're there worshiping God, and they're there in His presence. And I'll join them here before too long. I'm glad about that. I'm thankful that I'll get to take part in this. But listen, if you're here today and you're lost, God still has the power to add you to that number. He still has the power today. I'm telling you, if you will meet God's conditions today, if you'll repent of your sins before Him today, if you'll trust in Him today with all your heart, He will save you by His grace. Brother Mike was teaching Sunday school downstairs this morning in the adult class, and he spoke about how that there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, I believe it is, the Bible tells us that God is not slack concerning the promise of His coming, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, there's really no need for God to extend time to those that have been saved. If God took us home right now, now, we'd be better off, wouldn't we? If God just took us out of this world right now and placed us in this great eternal meeting, that would be good for us. But God is extending time because he's long-suffering to those who are perishing. God doesn't want you to perish, lost friend. He doesn't want you to perish. He would have all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you, church, we need to grab on to God, because the same God that has done these mighty works in days gone by can still do it today. He can still do it today. He's always been the one that has sent revival. It never has come from man. Sometimes I hear people talk about these people of the past. Sometimes I hear people talk about these preachers of the past and almost go to the extent of making it sound like that it was them that was doing that. I'm telling you, it was that. That was not the work of man. That was the work of God. God never changes, and he can do today what he did in 1755. You believe that God could take a church of 16 members today and within 2 years grow it to over 600? Well, sure he can. But people have to believe, don't they? Have to believe. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're here in this service today. But let me tell you something. This meeting that's talked about there in the 7th chapter of John, let me tell you, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss heaven. You need to come to the Lord and you need to seek him until you know that you've been saved, until you know that he has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, until you know that it's well with your soul and you've got a home in heaven when life is over. Then you'll have something to tell about. Then you'll have something to rejoice about. Then you'll be added to that number. But you're going to have to be born again to be a part. To be a part. We are here. We are laboring. We're trying to reach out to you that are lost. But listen, when it's all said and done, we're going home. We're going home. We're going home to rest from our labors. We're going home to be with that great eternal meeting with God and all of his people. And if you don't get ready in this life to meet the Lord, it'll be too late. There'll be no opportunities after this life. I want to urge you, we're going to have a song, and I want to urge you today, if you're here and you're lost, let me say this. Put your faith in God. He's still in the saving business. He can still save. He's got the power today to save you. If you're here and you're confused about where you stand with God, ask the Lord. If you'll exercise faith in him to show you, he'll show you. He'll make it plain to you. God doesn't want you to be confused. The devil wants you to be confused. God's not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. And God will make it right. And he'll make it plain to you and your heart and mind if you'll ask him and believe. If you're confused, seek the Lord. Ask him to show you where you stand. Listen, if you know you've been saved and you've never told it, tell it. Amen. Don't tell it if you don't have it, but if you do, tell it. Profess it. I'll tell you what, you'll feel a lot better. If you will, God will bless you if you're willing to do that. While we sing, everybody follow the Lord. Do what God would have you to do today. God is still mighty. He's still mighty to save. He's still got all power in heaven and earth, and he doesn't want you to perish and go to hell. He wants you to come to him and be saved. Let's sing.
Number seven. Glory land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. What a happy day 'twill be, what a glorious jubilee. All of heaven will be there, what a meeting in the air. Wretched lives are oh so sad to see, those who live in misery. But in heaven no more grief or pain, crippled lives are whole again. What a happy day 'twill be, what a glorious jubilee. All of heaven will be there, what a meeting in the air.
Number 189.